So we are live. Welcome everyone to the Aligned Sexuality webinar. Thank you so much for being here. I'm here with Sarah's Andromeda. She's showing on the screen as Leah Henningsen. So that's her.
It's a transition.
Transition to the new name.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
So we're really excited to be here with you all. Like I was saying before I hit record, I'm going to be kind of facilitating and fielding questions, and Sarah will be downloading a lot of things and we'll be kind of working together. So for those that are just joining on, please feel free to chat in using the little chat bubble at the bottom of your screen, because we want this to be participatory. We'll want to have your questions and know what's really alive for you around this topic. And you can also chat me privately if you don't want to share your question with the whole group, so that I can keep you anonymous and it'll just be me saying that. Okay. Anything you want to share, Sarah, before we dive in?
Anything to share? Well, I think it's worth mentioning that we went through a type of reset with the solstice we went through a reset of what holds a lot of our human patterning experience in place. And coming out the other side of the solstice, what has happened is that some of the primary things that keep our human suffering patterns in place, the root of them, so to speak, has been released. So what that means is that every place of challenge, all of our patterns of challenge will be freed up to play out and clear. And they may become very obvious very quickly. Patterns of challenge that we maybe used to just experience once a month or once every 6 months or once a week, they may cycle through once a day or once every few days. And while that can seem disruptive, and the mind can interpret that as more of what we don't want is happening, the reason that is happening is because what held all of our lower patterning, lower reality suffering in place has been released. So everything, all of that that was stuck, that we really couldn't create permanent shifts with for so long, is flushing through, and some of it has to play out through our lives and through our experience, and it has to be felt and remembered. Because this is happening, it's a really good time for things like what we're going to look at, aligned sexuality, because it means that by just bringing some love intention, awareness, and light to some of our most difficult areas of challenge ever, they are going to change very quickly. Hmm. We are used to having to do work that has a certain amount of discomfort or pain or struggle or resistance or takes a certain amount of time. And everyone's different. We have our own paths. And because what holds our toughest patterns in place has been released, we are going to just be, anyone who wants to do intentional work and wants to ascend and wake up, we can just move through things. We're going to be moving through things on a time frame that we haven't seen before.
Okay.
And all of our efforts will go much further.
So. Okay. Can we set the stage for those that may not be familiar with ascension? Can you explain what ascension is?
Yeah. So the webinar is Aligned Sexuality, and that is important for all humans. It's also just it's also essential to ascension, which is basically the process of waking up and lighting up and transcending the lower reality where we're used to things having to happen a certain way. We're bound by cause and effect, by time, by family patterns, by what we think of as lifespan and life cycles. All of that lower 3D where everything seems to have to be a certain way. Well, you have to do this if you want this. Ascension means basically remembering what we actually are and ascending out of the state of forgetting what we are and what we can do. And ascending back to living at the levels of unity consciousness, which is 5D and up. So ascending out of separation reality, which is just 3D and below. It's a bit different than just spiritual practice or healing, because it means that we take all of ourselves with us, our body, our emotional body, our mental body, our energy body. We completely reactivate and remember our full true self, fully connected at the higher levels, fully conscious. And we resolve the roots of separation suffering for good. We don't just make them better. We don't just address our toughest area and use what people have already been working with that only takes us so far. We don't just heal something to a certain degree and feel like we should be happy that it's better. We resolve the cause of suffering that results from seeming separate from love, freedom, power, abundance. We ascend out of separation and we resolve the cause of our suffering for good. And we come back to a state of being basically a cosmic divine human, which is natural. That's all we actually are.
So cosmic divine human. So ascension, I like to clarify this every time because I feel like from the spiritual, a lot of spiritual paths have the concept of like, we're leaving, we're transcending, or we're reaching for enlightenment. And my understanding from working with you is ascension to remember our capacity of being a cosmic human, cosmic divine human, is the process of embodying our divinity in our human form, like here right now.
Right. So a lot of the work that we do in the decades of spirituality leading up to ascension and in ascension work is, and what feels good and inspires us and makes us want to continue, is connecting up with higher light, learning, studying, doing something that opens our potentials for higher light, makes us feel lighter, inspires and invigorates us. We use that access to higher light and we bring that light down into the depths of our human that have been unconscious and have been stuck in fear-based patterning. Mm-hmm. So as we connect with higher light, we use that light to uncover the fear and suffering patterns in our human that we did not have the love, light, strength to access and resolve before. So we reach higher and we bring, and all the work is within. All the work is within. Of course, we tend to our outer life as needed. This life is a mirror. It is a mirror of what we are running. Things like, I don't even know. Things like law of attraction, which if anyone finds that useful, then that, please, everyone use whatever serves. Things like law of attraction are not a complete teaching, because those ideas are about changing our conscious thoughts. The whole reason we're kind of in this situation, part of it, is that for most humans on the planet, about 95% of what we are thinking and choosing and desiring is unconscious. Mm. So when we shift the 5% or so that's conscious we will change what we are magnetizing with our conscious thoughts and desires and imagination activity. However, we're also magnetizing and attracting and creating what we experience in the mirror from that 95% that is unconscious. Mm. So we have to uncover and reclaim and illuminate all that is unconscious within.
Are you saying that the law of attraction isn't complete necessarily because it's focusing primarily on that 5% that is conscious, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we're not even aware of?
Yeah, that's why it's not a complete teaching. I mean, Eckhart Tolle had a really nice comment on it that, you know, the law of attraction is really about humans noticing the correlation between what's happening within and what's happening without. Mm. And that is a progression in consciousness.
Yeah.
It's not a complete teaching for changing your outer life, because until we change what's running at all the levels of our being,
yeah,
and we're conscious of it and we own it and it's all in alignment, the mirror is still going to reflect what's running in the unconscious parts of self.
Mm-hmm. So the external world being a mirror for what's happening inside ourselves. Maybe before, I want to ask about relationships and how relationships are mirrors of those aspects within ourselves. Before we go there, though, I think we need to set the stage of the innate energies that we carry of masculine and feminine. And can you talk a bit about like how that manifests in our bodies?
Okay,
and,
yeah.
And separation.
So we each have an inner masculine and feminine. Masculine is housed in the right body and feminine in the left for everyone, regardless of biology. For a long time, our inner masculine and feminine have not been unified within. That separation between inner masculine and feminine keeps us in a, that is one of the main ingredients that keeps us in a perpetual state of feeling separate from what we need. Mm. Here or on the outside, whatever that is. Reunifying male and female within is fundamental to everything we could ever want to do. Ascending, emotional, mental balance, healthy relationships, relationships that work. Evolution, it is like the crux of everything that we want to do. So there's so much I could say about that. Do you want to?
Right. One thing that's coming up is, so we're, can we talk about union and unity and like that's where we came from, and then now we're kind of in this separation between masculine and feminine, and we're working to bring those back together within?
Yeah, so our natural state of being is that even though we will present as more masculine or feminine forward, you know, everyone has biology. So we present and express as more masculine or feminine, and that is normal and part of being a human, and that's fine. Our natural state of being on the inside in our core is that male and female are completely balanced, harmonized, and unified. We can express from more masculine and feminine, but they are never separate. Mm-hmm. Um, So if any of you are familiar with working with the violet flame, violet is the color of masculine blue and feminine pink merging. That is why the violet flame is such a powerful tool for transmutation, because it dissolves separation. It dissolves the result of separation. The violet light itself. Mm-hmm. Because we live in a realm of yin and yang, which is basically male and female. And so separation, as we experience it as this level, is inherently male-female separation. Mm-hmm. Mm. If you think of it not just as genders and in relationship, but in elements and in all of life. So when we reunify male and female within, the mirror of our life begins to balance and harmonize and unify. We have to unify male and female within the two sides to access the higher frequencies as well. The natural result of unifying male and female within is ascending to 5D and higher, the frequencies of unity, Christ consciousness. So if you will, gold, light, Christ, Sophia, Christ consciousness, the same frequency. Those are the ascended higher frequency results of blue and pink merging violet, which births the Christ Sophia consciousness light. Mm. So when our male and female are always unified within, we can be stable. Mm-hmm. In 5D and up, in Christ Sophia consciousness. If our male and female are unified within, we don't need ego to compensate. We don't need people to really love us in a certain way on the outside. Mm-hmm. We aren't wounded when relationships don't work. We're not trying to complete ourselves in relationships with others. When male and female are unified within,
because we're whole.
We still love others. We still want to be in a relationship, mm-hmm. but it comes from something. It's motivated by something completely different.
Right. So it's like a wholeness.
Absolutely. You come to the relationship from wholeness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really it's like, I mean, you know, I've heard, as I've been on this spiritual path of a seeker, about the law of one, about unity consciousness, about oneness, like all these things about unity, right? And like every yoga, it means to yoke, to union, you know, like there, every path seems to have that in some way. Right. And as I was listening to you speak, and as I've worked with you, I'm coming to the understanding that union means the union of the masculine and feminine energies within yourself. And that is the key to ascension and our evolution.
Yes. Yes. That's where it starts. That's what we do. We basically, now we access frequencies and teachings and experiences at higher levels with unified frequencies before we live there. That helps us bridge. That helps us.
Right.
And yes, right. That's the commonality in all paths, is the unification and the oneness. Mm-hmm. Naturally speaking, they're never separate. If you just think of a yin yang symbol, mm-hmm. to make it as simple as possible, it wouldn't be a natural yin-yang symbol if those two parts were not actually one whole. We cannot do and live naturally when our two parts are separate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And by unifying male and female within, we access 5D and up. 5D is the threshold to unity consciousness. So we can actually, while still in human form, to degree, keep ascending higher and higher in the body through embodiment, beyond 5D, accessing higher and higher states with some variables, as long as male and female remain unified within.
And when we talk about 5D, that's like a frequency, right? Or can you explain a bit more about that?
5D is a frequency. It is a level of consciousness. It is a level of reality. So it's really all the same. So mm-hmm. we experience things as solid and matter. That's made up of matter is made up of energy. How we experience it is determined by the frequency of the energy.
Mm-hmm. So it starts with our experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So many good things. Okay. So let's pivot this a bit into relationships. And maybe talk. So earlier we were saying how relationships and the external world and relationships are mirrors. So now that we have this foundation of our masculine and feminine energy within each person, how does that work with our, like, let's say romantic relationships?
In all of our relationships, but a more obviously in intimate relationships, we will tend to seek a partner, another person to be with, that in a sense seems like they will complete what is missing for us. Mm-hmm. Now, from a place of wholeness, we find people to be in relationship with. It's balancing that's different. In relationships, we know when it doesn't work, when the love seems to run out, or when it doesn't work. And then we get into lots of pain and projection. And that is because the relationship is mirroring to us where we are experiencing separation within. Mm. When the relationships don't work in a way that feels like a threat to us. Mm-hmm. And there's pain and loss of self, the relationship is mirroring to us where we are separate from part of ourselves within, usually the same half of self. You know, if we're in a relationship with a man, we're separate from our masculine in that place. Mm. Or how our male, it's mirroring our exact inner dynamic.
Right.
Our outer relationships, especially the close ones more obviously, are exactly mirroring our inner male-female dynamic. Mm-hmm. So when they don't work, that's actually when it's easier to see what was hidden in our inner male-female dynamic that we didn't notice. Because it's painful and it gets our attention and it brings conscious areas of separation that we were not aware of before. So what we tend to want to do is to try to understand the other person or fix the relationship, mm-hmm. make it go back to love and make it feel better. Those things are fine. And what really creates the shift, what's really happening is that we have an opportunity. We mm-hmm. have an opportunity. The relationship and the other person is mirroring to us what our less obvious half is doing. Maybe not all the time, but almost all the time. Mm-hmm. So really the order of events would be to sort of not try to fix the person in the relationship over there, get them to do what we want, but to take that reflection and check within mm-hmm. and welcome a part of us that we have not been in touch with, say the masculine half, that is very likely operating in a way that is just like what the person on the outside is doing that's causing us so much pain. Mm-hmm. That seems to be causing us so much pain. We already had that pain, separation pain within. it just wasn't obvious until we activated it through the relationship.
Right. So it's almost like, I'm going to give an example. If I'm in a relationship with a male partner and I start to, through whatever is happening, I start to get afraid. I become afraid that he's going to leave me. And I could look at him and just focus all on him and be like, are you going to leave? And don't leave me, and put all my energy out. Or I could look within and look at, where does that fear of being left come from? And how has what is my relationship with my inner masculine? Like, is he present? Is he showing up for me? He, you know, in quotes, but, and how can I make my self feel more secure within?
Right. So using that example, what we would do, the person that we are in close relationship with is trying to leave, and we have this pain and fear of abandonment, and we want to try to make them stay. Mm-hmm. So the place that we would really start with that is to just go into the heart and tend self-love. These parts of us that have been hidden don't want to show themselves if we're just going to try to judge them and make them different.
Right.
We can't make them different until we see, make contact with them as they are first. Mm-hmm. So what we would do is we would basically just go inside and say, okay, has my inner masculine already abandoned me? Mm. Do I already feel abandoned in my dynamic with my inner masculine?
Right.
And if it plays out here, it's going to put me in touch with that abandonment, fear, and pain that I have not addressed, or that I maybe believed I couldn't resolve.
Right. Okay. Okay. So let's bring this down into the sacral chakra even more and talk about, maybe you can work through the writing that you did a bit and just like lay the foundation of what is sexual alignment, what are sexual distortions, like now, and just to set the stage even more, now that we have an understanding of the foundational energies within us, masculine, feminine, and that union within is really the path to ascension and evolution. And we also have the context that our relationships are an external representation of what's happening internally. And then it can get complicated when sex is involved. So let's talk about that.
Well, maybe what I can just say is that, you know, what we really wanted to share today was something about aligned sexuality, what that mm-hmm. is, how we fall out of, how we lose, come out of aligned sexuality, and how to get back. And that's really the container for this information that Sina and I are trying to share. So aligned sexuality is, since we've already talked so much about inner masculine and feminine, when the two halves are unified within, then we are an open human channel. We can mm-hmm. run. If half of us is partly blocked, we're not an effective channel. Aligned sexuality is when human soul, earth desire, sacral sexual desire can be grounded, flow up through the heart and all the way to the level of spirit. And our sacral energy can combine with heart love energy and with spiritual energy, and it can flow both ways through us as a vertical column. And when both, I'm not only going to talk about sexuality as like individuals or two people. I'm not going to get into if there's many people being sexual together. It's just too hard to talk about. So, okay. So when both people have an open flow of sacral sexual energy purified from soul and deep earth up through the love of the heart, combining with spirit light, running both ways. When both people, well, we experience our sexuality all the time. So we experience aligned sexuality, which is also our creativity, when we run like this. Mm-hmm. And then if we engage in sexuality with another person who's also an open aligned flow, then we get to experience what sexuality with another is actually intended to be, which is a heart expanded, soul fulfilling, and also spiritual activity. Both people increase their soul power, heart love, mm-hmm. and spirit light. It inevitably helps to further open and heal and restore the human aligned sexuality. And also we inevitably will, even we're not setting out to make something happen, we will inevitably access light codes and information, next level, higher information for our ascension, our waking up, our evolution, our consciousness, and our creativity and purpose here. So if you have sexual partners, people are partnered and they're both experiencing aligned sexuality, it will be activating and expanding and supporting their awakening and their purpose and their ascension ongoing. Mm. And when some place of human wounding or blocks are activated or come up or try to move through a release, and that will, of course, both people being open already, that will want to express and move into the sexual dynamic. And if both people can, I mean, we are still human. There's, you know, things are not perfect and we still have human experience, but that can become part of the aligned sexuality experience. You know, there can be open, emotional opening, emotional release. Healings will occur naturally. Mm-hmm. If there's some human wounding, pain, or distortion that moves through in an aligned sexual experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so this might be jumping ahead a little bit, but something that really struck me that you shared, you're talking about the vertical alignment. So sexual alignment is a vertical, like within our central channel. I feel like codependency is a really hot topic right now and kind of always. And you shared something with me in separate work that we were doing together about instead of a vertical alignment, we've been in kind of this horizontal, like we spread our energy out to others. Can you speak more about that?
Yeah. I mean, this is So for everybody that's with us today, I have created a small aligned sexuality handbook, which everyone who's attending here with us right now will get a discount to purchase. And this is something good to talk about. I don't actually cover it in this small handbook I created. So our natural state of being is aligned vertical flow. We are connected to source above. That energy runs through the heart. Heart's the bridge. And we are connected to sacred earth below. And it runs this way. So we are supported, nurtured from below. We are infused with higher light from above. It all bridges in the heart. And it flows this way all the time. And we are self-sustaining. Mm. We are sovereign, self-sustaining beings as a vertical column. So this applies to everything, not just sexuality, but it's very easy to notice when this is not happening in intimate relationships and sexuality. Mm-hmm. So the way things have been working in 3D, and not by accident, which is sort of another topic, is that things are set up to run laterally. Mm-hmm. So to speak very simply, we come into 3D reality, 3, 2, and 1, into a state of separation. And things are difficult. We're depleted. We're drained. Things seem to be taken from us. We seem to be hurt. Mm-hmm. And we find ourselves here in a position where it seems that we need to take something from somewhere else outside of us to sustain ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that is considered normal. Mm-hmm. And it happens in overt and covert ways in every human dynamic that there is. It happens with more intense energetic exchange and sexuality. Yeah. So running laterally, you know, we have these sort of cords and attachments, connections that we run to other things and people. Some are helpful and some aren't helpful. And we create dependency and codependency connections with other people. And we're feeding on those and energizing them. Mm-hmm. So what is helpful to notice is, when do I feel like I need somebody else to be a certain way? How am I judging them? And when I do that, what am I projecting of myself? Hmm. What do I feel like I need to get from this person to be okay? And we begin to become energetically aware of when our energy is being pulled on or when we are pulling. Mm-hmm. And we will feel it. And so here again, we want to just do this with lots of self-love, because this is how we've all been living. This is what we've all been doing in every area of human life all the time. When we start to see it clearly, it can almost be shocking, because we see and feel how unnatural and unorganic it is. Mm-hmm. So we want to let ourselves notice. And then people that we have loving relationships with will do it to us. A family member will call us on the phone and we'll start to feel they have this big story. They need our help. And we can feel the pull on our energy. Mm-hmm. We get off the phone and we're drained. We have less light. Mm-hmm. And maybe we tried to help or maybe we didn't. Whatever happened in the surface interaction, we feel this loss of power. Now that is more obvious in intimate relationships. And what starts to happen when we run our energy vertically, we become more conscious of how our energy is running. When am I sourcing love from up here and down here? Do I feel full of love and power by sourcing it from above through my heart and from below, strong on the earth and, you know, lighting up from above? We begin to become aware of that, and then we will get pulled in. Parts of us are not conscious and on board with that. We'll get pulled in to running energy like this, in dependency patterns with other people. And so we just notice it. Those moments are our teachers. Mm. They bring us conscious. They bring us the information that we need. And the mirror of intimate relationships is an easy place to get that information.
Front and center. Okay. So we have some good questions coming in. Before we go here, I do want to flesh out a little more about sexual distortions more generally. So, unless you feel like we covered that in what you just shared, but
no, I don't think we've covered it at all, but yeah. I don't know. It's okay. I would like to just let everybody know, like, in case someone has to go early, that for people attending, if they go to my site, cosmic-alchemy.space, and you have the product link, you can find the Aligned Sexuality Handbook. And you can use the code Sina Maria to get 20% off. So I just want to invite everybody to, I really want to make this material accessible. So I want to invite everyone to find that. And if you don't remember all that, because this information is so full, you can email Sina and she'll have all the information for you.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. I read through the handbook that Sarah's created last night, and it's really, really helpful. And we'll be sharing this recording, so you can obviously watch this again, but having these points laid out in writing form that you can go back and refer to and really sit with, and, you know, there's bullet points, it's organized in a way that was just another really helpful tool for me to kind of drop in with this in a different, from a different angle. So, yeah, so we'll send the links to all that.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So sexual distortions is that's, these are the patterns that are distorted. It's how sacral sexual creative energy flows not aligned and organically. It flows in a distorted pattern, and we experience that as a distortion, as suffering. Mm-hmm. So that's any sexual distortions refer to any way that we experience our sexuality that is not aligned. Mm. The cause of sexual distortions, well, that's so, the way to resolve sexual distortions is to begin to bring them conscious. And what happens when we bring them conscious is sexual distortions appear to have many causes, many, 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 many causes. If we've experienced a sexual trauma or an assault, we will find that that seems to be running distortions in our sexuality. Everybody's got karmic patterning with their families. If you adore your family and they seem amazing and perfect, if your family is obviously difficult, everybody has karmic patterning that runs through the family line. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. It shows up in sexuality. So what happens as we begin to look at, when we begin to look within to see how our sexuality is distorting and what seems to be causing it, we get, there are layers of levels of cause. One cause, we resolve that, then that underneath that we find another cause. Mm-hmm. Through all these layers, we eventually work our way back to our primary separation wound, that place where the primary separation wound, when we first get to it, will seem like will be our most devastating human wound in this life. Mm. We chose to reactivate it in this life because it actually happened before. Having it reactivate in this life brings it conscious so we can work with it. All of our sexual distortions ultimately will thread back to that original place where we fell separate from source love. Mm. And we fell out of unity consciousness and into fear and separation suffering. The type, the moment of that wound and that original separation trauma. So that is what I talk about in the writing, in the handbook. I use this image of sort of a taproot. That original wound is like a taproot for the distortions. And then we have offshoots from that of other distorted patterns and traumas that express over and over through, mm-hmm. Through our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now is, like, at this time, we're really going down into that taproot more so than ever before.
What holds it in place, if you will? Mm-hmm. You could say before we needed a shovel to get to it and a pick.
Mm, okay.
Post the solstice, mm-hmm. That taproot can just be pulled right out. But we have to get there.
Okay.
It's still a process.
Okay. Okay. Do you think we could, you could share a bit of some examples of, like, the common experiences of sexual distortions that you have listed in the handbook?
Yeah. Let's see. So these will take endless forms. And the intensity varies greatly. There's an entire spectrum of intensity. So, you know, at the light end, sexual distortions can just seem like not very connected, not very fulfilling. And at the other end of intensity, sexual distortions will pull us further out of alignment with heart, soul, and spirit. They will drain our light and our soul power, and they can add another layer of sexual trauma, mm-hmm. big or small. So I think I want to say this first. There are so many forms of sexual distortion. The easy way that we can tell if we are in the zone of experiencing sexuality distorted or more aligned, because it's by degree for a while, mm-hmm. is whether or not the sacral sexual energy from below, from the lower body, is running up as high as the heart chakra. If we are feeling pleasure and desire that is only running in the lower body and maybe as far up as the solar plexus, like power, there's a surge of power, but it's not making it up to the human heart center. If the pleasure and desire does not flow up here, and we engage sexuality with ourselves or others, we will be acting out and further energizing sexual distortions. And this is easy to feel. It just takes a breath or two to feel. There are many forms of sexual distortions that will want to play out beneath the heart, because if they make it to the heart, they'll change. So where we have attachment or egoic pattern, where we have a lot of addictive patterning or desire that has gathered around a certain sexual pattern and it wants to play out that way to energize ego or whatever we're going to do, or that's just how the body's blocked and the energy just wants to flow that way, established sexual distortions will want to play out without connecting with love energies. They will want to operate separate from love. And that's also considered very socially normal as well.
Right.
I think it's important to note here that none of this has anything to do with right or wrong or taboos.
Right.
It's about whether or not it's bringing us into alignment with love, or is it hurting us? Is it confusing us and hurting us and keeping us trapped in suffering? Or is it bringing us back to who we are? And is it empowering us and filling us up with love? Mm-hmm. That's what matters. There are a million labels for how to do this or what's right and how fun it is, which no judgment, whatever people want to take up, but how fun it is to break through taboos. And that is fun. Mm-hmm. But that's not the same as bringing our sexuality back into alignment.
Right.
So what's essential is to notice if the sacral soul earth pleasure desire runs up as far as the heart, and if we can allow it to run up as high as the heart and we can feel some love energy circulating, mm-hmm. active at least this high with the desire and pleasure running, and we engage sexuality from there, it will be by degree more in alignment.
So what if I was noticing that my sexual energy wasn't flowing up to the heart? What would you recommend?
I would recommend not engaging with another person and not engaging your sexuality per se, just for the sake of sexual gratification. But I would also say, if you have time to do a piece of work for yourself, if you have privacy in a moment, that's a great opportunity to notice what the distorted flow is and something more about what's causing it. So for example, I'm feeling, experiencing sexual desire or arousal or some pleasure. It's not flowing up to the heart. We can just take a moment, go in within. We want to first activate the heart. We want to activate the heart. Right then and there, we have to start from self-love. Now, there's a tricky place in bringing distortions conscious. And they have to come conscious for the most part to clear. There's a few exceptions. The sexual distorted patterns that are not based in love will not want to keep flowing when we activate the heart. So there is, and I might explore this more later in another way. What can happen when we open the heart is that if what we're running, depending on the type of distortion, that desire and pleasure may shut down. It may say, oh, I don't want to feel loving. I'm feeling sexual in a different way. It's not loving. It's feisty or it's aggressive or it's this or it's that. But it's not like sweet. And the desire and the pleasure may just go flat. It may drop. It may stop. Mm-hmm. So now this, then to use your example, if you were to say, okay, I want to know what's happening with that. I want to know what's going on with that, to bring that distortion conscious and bring that part of me back into alignment and open the flow. The goal mm-hmm. is not to shut down the flow because it's distorted. That's sexual repression. That's what it's so fun to rebel against.
Right.
That's what we're coming out of with all the religion in the Piscean era, is repressing it and we're guilty and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. The goal is not to repress it. So this is actually a good example to focus on. This takes some practice, and it takes, at some point, some people may need some support or help with this, something to reference, materials, a teacher, a guide. So to continue with this example, you would want to intend to keep the heart open. It's like a balancing act. And invite that sexual desire or pleasure to reactivate. And you would want to feel into the body, use conscious breath. None of this is in the head. If we try to understand it first, it's a game. We're done. Mm-hmm. We have to let go of how bad is this, or what's going to happen, or what am I going to find? The mind will run those scripts, but we just come back to the heart and body. So we use conscious breath and we get into the body. And in this example, just intent, you may have to put a hand on your heart to try to keep some heart energy running, because when that distorted pattern reactivates the heart, it'll want to pull the energy out of the heart and close the heart. Trying to keep the heart open and getting back in touch with that desire and just saying, I want to see and know what this is. I'm going to welcome it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I want to know what this desire really wants. So this is where, however you all do your own personal work, you invite the desire, the sacred, that distorted flow to run again, and you begin to feel in the body, where is it happening? There will be an area in the body, and I don't just mean the sacral pelvic region. It gets way more specific than that. There will be an area somewhere, I mean, usually generally in the sacral area, but sometimes other places, but it'll get much more local. Where in the body, what area in my body is running this distortion? And feel for it. And you will either begin to notice that same desire or pleasure will start to circulate, or your attention with conscious breath in the body will be drawn to an area that is blocked, that seems to not want to let conscious love light flow through. And that's the area of interest. Now, then the idea is to invite that area of the body, which at that point, I mean, it's like a part of self. We interact with it like it's a part of self. Invite it to show us what the desire wants, what it seems to want. and let ourselves see and feel that in the safety of our own process. This can be done with a trusted partner, but it takes a lot of practice and self-love. So I really recommend when you're working with the tougher stuff where the heart's not open at all, I recommend not engaging with another person unless you have a very special situation. And to invite that desire to play out in your feeling and in your imagination. Okay, what's the fantasy? What would the fantasy be for fulfillment? Maybe it's overtly sexual or whatever it is. What does it feel like that part of me wants? Okay, well, it feels like that part of me wants this, to express this way or be in this role in sexuality or be touched this way or do this thing or be in control or not be in control. And we invite that out and we see it and we feel it. And we feel it. And now when we let this happen, the pleasure and desire will start running again. The heart may try to close. So this is the balance, to try to keep the heart open again. Some, but to still keep welcoming. We're inviting that desire to show us what it really wants. Now, if we stay with it, we're not just staying with it the way you would say, stay with sexual activity until like a point of orgasm. That's not the point. This is personal work to bring things conscious. So we want to let this part of us express itself in our imagination fully, not like a tempered, tame version of the desire or fantasy. We want to call on this part of us and say, show me the biggest, fullest, most expressive version of what you think you want. And let's see, carry it out all the way to the end. If you could run with this, this is why this work needs to be done in a safe way, right? So we invite this, show me, if you could act it out and there were no taboos and no laws, because we're just focused inside. It's a free, you know, this is the kind of work that usually gets reserved for, you know, less intentional, less conscious times in dream work. We can do this work when we're awake. So you invite it to show itself to you, and it's going to be distorted. It's going to have destructive elements. Somebody's going to be hurt or mistreated. Yeah. There's going to be pleasure in mistreatment or in giving or taking.
Right.
And we want to see, though, how that's playing out. And then we want to stay with it. So like, let's say that it's a sexual fantasy and it wants to build and build and build and play out to crescendo. And then it would be done. Stay with it after. This is very, very important. What happens after? And, you know, you may be engaging yourself physically. There may be a physical orgasm. That's not really, you can do that if you need to, but that's not the point. You want to stay with where what the desire wants. Where is it going? It's usually enough to just imagine the whole arc of desire, energy building, and then there's the tension release that would be climax or orgasm. And then stay with it. Stay with that part of self. Breathe into the body and feel, and don't check out. Over and say, okay, where are you at now?
Right.
How do you feel now? That part will want to disappear. So staying with it. Okay. Do you feel ashamed? Are you hiding? Do you feel loved? Do you feel guilty? Do you feel depleted? Do you like yourself less? Do you feel less lovable? Do you feel like, you know, staying with that part, you want to see, what's going on with that part of self and that desire all the way through until you know you've gotten some information. Of course, if this gets intense, we just stop and let go and take a drink of water or go outside. You know, this has to be done in a way that works.
Right.
Everyone, please take care of yourselves. We don't have to be kamikaze with this. But I'm explaining it to the end so that people know what one whole process is like. Then let's say to use you, thank you for an example. Let's say that you did this and you saw the distortion and it seemed like big, exciting or whatever, lots of desire. Then there's a pinnacle, there's a climax. And then after, it's after that we get in touch with what was the cost of that? What now we feel the separation pain that gave rise to that distorted desire to begin with.
Right.
On the other side. and we get in touch with that and we stay there and we do not abandon that part of ourselves, because that is the special moment when that separation pain, that level of sexual distortion and what's running it is open for us to make love contact with. Real love. And maybe we mother ourselves through it. Maybe we father ourselves through it. Maybe we get in touch with an inner child aspect that is wounded by that sexual distortion every time it plays out. And there's, there's grief, and then we get in touch with memories. And if a lot doesn't happen afterwards, it's okay. Just staying in the body and feeling and breathing consciously, being there, that's enough. But there will also be times when a really obvious process, happens.
Yes. Okay. That was a lot of really powerful stuff. I just want to note that, like, just reinforce and reiterate that this is really, really potent work and really, really deep work. And there was a question that I want to share that I think is related to this. So I'm just going to read the whole question. I see sexual distortion being played out in the form of toxic sexuality /shadow/dark. And I believe it is based on early sexual memories and patterning and is conditioning the sexual desires of others. Most of what I see out there in these categories feels like a part is being played out that is surface level being disguised as potent. Where does sacred and cosmic sex fit in here?
I don't know if that person could clarify. It sounded like some of that was about personal experience and some of it was about what they're seeing in the collective. So I feel like I might need the question to be distilled or clarified a bit.
Okay, let's see. If you want to chat me privately, if you want, let's see. So the reason they're asking this is because they've refrained from engaging in this type of energy because it scares me and feels out of alignment.
Oh, okay. I think I get it. I'm going to start talking and they can chat, tell you if I'm on the question or not. It sounds like they're speaking to a lot of shadow sexuality that is just at work in the collective, and they don't want to be affected by that. Maybe they're wanting to understand it also, but I mean, the first order priority is to be safe from
it,
right?
Yes, this is right, yeah.
But then it also, it's kind of, you know, we also want to be in relationships to be able to be with people and not have to shut our life down to be safe. We're on track here?
Yeah,
question. Okay, this is a really good question. So I want to start by just thanking that person for asking that question. And I honestly wish I had a better answer than the one I'm about to offer. As far as, well, I want to start by saying that what's important here is different for everybody. I would like to be able to offer an answer that just says, here's how you cannot be susceptible to all that stuff in the world. And I don't have that answer. Okay. There's a lot on this and I want to just, I would say that the most important thing is to get in touch with anything that we're running within that would make us unnecessarily susceptible to the shadow sexuality playing out in the world. Okay. So what we want to do is get in touch with any part of self, big or small. This may apply to the person that asked the question or not, but it will apply to many. There are usually unconscious parts of us that are drawn to certain shadowy types of sexuality, maybe a very, very small part, even if just because we've been in the collective and we've soaked it up in our cells and DNA. It's not what we really want, but parts of us can be drawn into it. Hmm. So even if we know it's not what we want to get in touch with how are we susceptible to it? How does it hook our sacral energies and desires? How does it even psychically confuse us, which I'm not going to get into too much here, but
what if it's manifesting as an aversion, like just a pure aversion to engaging?
Oh, and sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
With other people or aversion to sexuality with self or?
I believe other people. Let's see.
That's a reversal pattern. That's a reversal okay. pattern where what would be attraction becomes repulsion. Mm. Okay. What we would be drawn to becomes almost disgusting.
Mm.
Another way. So mm-hmm. I talk about this in the sexuality manual that one of the very, very common forms of distortions, and they're kind of seem extreme when you look at how the energy is flowing, is just flat reversals where the energy can't flow through and it runs the opposite of what's natural and organic.
Mm.
So repulsion and disgust are an experience of sexual reversals. There can be many, many different causes for this. I'm going to say with this person, my sense is that they are having a particular type of reaction to distortions that run in the collective. My sense is that this person does have a particular sensitivity to that.
Mm.
And still and always, there is, we want to get in touch with what's happening inside of us when that happens. So I think that the quick way to improvement, relief, liberation, whatever, you know, learning about sexual distortions in the collective can be helpful, but there's so many, and we can almost, when we really focus on them and study them for a long time, we can almost, they can almost kind of, they're in our field. Mm-hmm. So I would actually encourage not focusing on those until this is resolved for this person.
Okay.
Not really focusing on studying, understanding, puzzling out shadow sexuality in the collective, but getting more deeply in touch with what's happening inside of self with that's giving rise to the sexual aversion within. Even if it's a dynamic between inner and outer, we can still just let go of outer and focus within.
Okay. Yeah, that what you said was spot on about being particularly sensitive to
collective. And so I think the reason that I guess I almost want to say to this person that I do wish I had a different particular answer for them is that some of this is just about the state of things on the planet right now.
Mm.
What may be helpful for this person is to really focus on how they spend more time stabilizing in higher frequency realities so that energetically they are not interfacing with that level of collective energy as much.
Mm-hmm.
That person, this person asking a question probably will just feel comfortable and more normal stabilizing in at least fifth through seventh dimensional frequencies all the time. And doing really whatever's needed behaviorally, energetically, to not be in the fray with this collective stuff. And then sexual engagement with others will probably, at best, maybe with a bit more internal work, still be very selective.
Okay.
Until we are at a different place of planetary shift.
Okay. Thank you. a second question. Can you speak on, can you speak on sexual scarcity and lack and abundance? So speaking both about abundance of money and abundance of sexual energy, how are these connected? How can starseeds transmute or heal this?
So sacral sexual energy is also creative manifesting energy. And as we bring our sexuality back into alignment, that also includes, if you will, the birthing channel for how we manifest things in our lives. So there is a definite correlation between aligned open flow of sacral energy and abundance in all forms. Within this, I want to say that at this point now, I mean, literally right now, finishing up this year, we are all going to be getting in touch with our particular path and purpose and the cycles that we need to go through to reclaim ourselves fiercely, like we never have before. Mm-hmm. So general templates for what can everybody do to open abundant, sacral, creative, sexual flow and have that show up also as more abundance in life. Those kind of, it's not going to be one size fits all quite as much anymore. Generally speaking, let's see, what I can say about this is what might be really helpful for this person is for them to continue to connect with their star origins and with the cosmic light that nurtures them. When we hook up with these teams, these galactic cosmic teams, I mean, they're ready. And for this person, their star families, but their front and center galactic cosmic teams will very likely be able to bring in light codes and help with this person's sacral creative manifesting flow, opening and stabilizing here and now, the way the planet, the way things are at this time and given this person's past. So yeah, actually I would encourage this person when they do connected work with higher light to call on their guides, people, aspects, teams, and that light and actively bring it into the sacral chakra. And to actively bring it into any blocks, misaligned places, frozen places, places that have been closed for whatever reason, including maybe not feeling safe, bring that starlight all the way down to the sacral chakra. And that may be progressive. I mean, if we're aware of it for any length of time, it's made it as far down as the heart, the starlight. I would encourage this person to just open it up and start bringing that cosmic light all the way down into the low body and low chakras and let the star beings in those frequencies help that person come into a place of optimal flow for right now. Use those connections.
Okay.
Because it can be tough to balance any place where we're running distortions and we're blocked. We can feel really imbalanced through the changes that the world's about to go through. So stabilizing sacral authority and sacral flow the best we can, owning our space and selves while the world does whatever it does.
Okay. We have a really good question that I want to share. I have a personal follow-up question on what we just discussed. I see a good amount of teachings and relating between financial abundance and like an active sacral chakra.
Okay.
I think especially geared towards women. Maybe I just see this because that's where I am, but yeah, just energy of like, okay, to manifest money, you need to like be juicy and turned on, and then you'll magnetize it to you. I'm really simplifying it there, but that's definitely a pattern I've seen. And I'm just wondering if you could speak on that in relating to what we're talking about with sexual alignment and distortions. Like, is there a connection between financial abundance and the sacral chakra necessarily?
Well, yeah, I mean, to keep it really simple, when we are enjoying ourselves, when we are enjoying the experience of our own beingness, when we feel pleasure in existing,
mm-hmm.
and when that flows, and when we enjoy that flow, when we enjoy our own desires, when we enjoy the magnetic feeling of our desires and what we do with our desires, and when we give ourselves permission to open into that and to mm-hmm. feel radiant and beautiful and creative and strong and playful and sexy and powerful, and we open into all that, then the flow through our entire being is opened, and the flow through our life is open. Mm. Now, everybody's got different things that they're sorting. Everybody's got their own areas that they're working out, you know, certain types of challenge, you know, so some people have physical illness and some people have financial. And so we have these different areas that are part of our purpose and what we're resolving for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why it's not a one size fits all, but there are sort of basic principles. So yes, fundamentally speaking, if we are open in the flow of enjoying our beingness, feeling pleasure, feeling happy, beautiful, connected, radiant, if we're enjoying our experience of pleasure and desire and how we channel that and how it's magnetic,
mm-hmm.
that opens our flow of everything we do and bring in and create.
Mm-hmm.
And where it's distorted.
Right.
Those distortions will show up in our lives kind of according to where we chose to focus for this life path. You know, so it's not really 100% realistic to say if you want to have more money, your sacral flow is blocked. You can't, right. You always say that across the board.
Yeah.
And you know, the natural thing is that if we desire something and it's an alignment and it's not based in egoic attachment or karma that we need to burn through, it will manifest, because why wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, so as we keep uncovering our distortions and the layers of separation wounding, and then ultimately the cause, when we resolve the cause, being a vertical channel, being in alignment, sexual creative alignment, we are, yes, creating ongoing. Yeah. Yes, that flow does also translate to what comes through in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So does that speak to it, what you're asking, enough?
Yeah, I think it helps me just tune into the bigger picture. Like, it's not as simple as just like have self-pleasure and then you're going to have money. It's like there's more, a lot more to it. And one of the reasons we're doing this webinar is because the sexual energy is such a powerful energy that we have to create. And so there is truth in those approaches in a way. It's just like a bigger
discussion. Really the sacral chakra is where we birth. It's where our desire, really the holy grail, the sacral chakra. Mm-hmm. So source potentials can be drawn down through the heart to meet our human earth soul desire and to birth through the sacral chakra. Yep. It's the holy grail. It's where spirit potential manifests as material abundance, so to mm-hmm. speak. Yes. But just being more sort of sexually open and enjoying ourselves more sexually and feeling sexier and vibrant, yes, may not always translate to money. There's just more to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Another wonderful question. How can we tell if what others are doing are distortions? This person recently attended a sexually themed party where open sexuality was happening, and this person felt repelled by what appeared to be a lot of distortion, attention seeking, overtly and overly sexualized behavior for attention seeking, and general unconscious shadowy sexuality. It was confusing because I was repelled, but others seemed really into it.
Right. That's a good question. Well, thank you to whoever asked that question, because it's a good, clear example. So I want to say first, before speaking to this, that, you know, this isn't about, again, if it's right or wrong for 2 or 10 or 20 or 200 people to be sexual, wearing outfits or not, or whatever stage is set. There's nothing to do with that, okay? There's nothing to do with that. First, I want to tell this person that they're right. All their observations are right. Hmm. I mean, I can just tell from their share. So, I would like to start also by just acknowledging this person's clarity and encouraging them to trust what they just sense through gut and feeling and energy and intuition, and that they are 100% right. I mean, they are. It's confusing because why are all these other people enjoying themselves and seeming to get something and I'm not getting something? Mm. Why am I over here alone getting nothing and black, and all of these people are like, it's a great thing for them. So we don't want to do the icky thing, but we also want to join in and have all the good stuff that other people are having. Mm-hmm. So what I would say to this person is that you will have to choose. Mm. And you will have to choose. There is a lot. And also what I will also say to this person is that they are more conscious already than probably every other person in that setting. So it can feel like, how come, what's wrong with me? I can't have fun like everyone else. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's happening is that this person is already more conscious than everyone else. And another thing that's happening with the distorted sexuality is that in those activities, those people are energizing guilt, separation, spirit light, soul drains, and suffering. Mm. But the experience of the suffering that's being generated is pushed away, and it's dissociated, and it seems to be delayed by time. There is another side to all that fun that the person asking the question didn't get to join in on. They just don't get to see that side.
Right.
Okay. So I would encourage that person not to worry about what everyone else is doing and mm-hmm. to trust what works for them and to let go. Mm-hmm. How come all these people get to enjoy themselves in this way and I don't? We have to let go of that. If it's not aligned, there is a cost, even if we don't see it.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. So, and if this person wants to, you know, be liberated and have fun and sexual fulfillment and vibrancy, I mean, the truth is that we're not quite there yet as humans for this to happen in aligned ways. That's just how it is. Mm. We don't have to make that a problem. If we decide it's a problem, then it's a problem. And if it's not, then it's not. If we want to enjoy ourselves, we find a different way.
Right.
And we say, okay, I mean, what happens, I know this happens, if we put ourselves in those situations, it really gets to be a bummer, and we keep trying the stuff that doesn't work, and then we get infected with the energy, and then that confuses us and almost pulls us in to keep trying what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Sort of becomes a cycle, and sometimes we have to really get kind of drained or burned with that cycle to just walk out of it.
Right.
So.
Right, and I want to clarify, so when you were saying that, like, you were tuning into this specific situation that this person was sharing about, and that, you know, everyone was, this person was on a different level of consciousness, and they were basically just reinforcing distorted sexual energy through what they were doing. I want to clarify, though, that, like, that's not, there can be sexually aligned exploration in those ways. Basically, like, it's not wrong or just inherently distorted to be exploring sexuality in that way. It was this, or is that the case? But was this situation?
What do you mean when you say that way? You mean in a group?
Yeah.
No, nothing's inherently wrong.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to by default be distorted when you have more than two people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of why I said that. It's, nothing's inherently, yeah, it's either aligned or it's not.
Right.
So
it could be the same situation that could be aligned. Like, it could have all been aligned.
Theoretically, it can be aligned. Most people's sexuality is not fully in alignment. When you've got two people coming together in full sexual alignment, that's a big deal.
Right.
So for every person you add, the chances that it's all aligned go down.
Right.
Real quick.
Yeah. That's real.
It's not by default disaligned to do anything with 100 people.
Yeah. Yep.
It either is or it isn't, you know, but that person was feeling, reading how that those activities were oozing with distortions, because they were.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, they're saying it makes sense to them. It makes a lot of sense. So okay. Thank you. Okay. I think we're going, there's a lot to cover. There's a lot. We could go on for hours.
Where are we at?
We don't have any more questions that have come in yet. Okay. And okay. I think, you know, this has been a solid hour and a half.
Oh my goodness. Really?
Wow. Yeah. So yeah.
All right.
So it seems like a good place to wrap this one up, and maybe there's opportunity to do a follow up and cover more.
Yeah.
Any last things you want to share?
Oh no. I mean, thanks everyone for attending and the awesome questions, and let me see if there's anything else I want to share. No, I mean, I do want to comment that, you know, bringing our sexuality into alignment, because sexuality, I mean, when we open it up, it encompasses all of who we are. Mm-hmm. So it is a way to directly access things that are hard to get in touch with otherwise. Mm-hmm. And we have to do things in a way that's safe and at our own pace and that makes sense for us, and doesn't make more trouble than it brings help. Mm-hmm. You know, and bringing sexuality back into alignment, we get to access all this core stuff that accelerates our ascension, brings us back into ourself, clears things up in our dynamics with other people very quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a direct way to get a lot of stuff done that really affect every area of how we experience ourselves and the divine and relationships and creation.
Yeah. So it's an opportunity, a grand opportunity. I do want to share, I'm going to type your website just in the chat. I'll send this out in an email as well, but anyone that wants to peruse your website. So there is that, the sexual alignment handbook that you've mentioned. You can get 20% off with the code SinaMaria, And you also have an Ascension Essentials e-course. So if this was more of like your first time kind of diving into the Ascension topic, there's a lot there. And Leah Sayers has a really beautiful course that outlines the seven pillars of Ascension. And it's all done via writings and email, so you can do it at your own pace. So you can also find that on her website, along with a lot of other resources that are really helpful.
Yeah, if opening up sexuality, you know, if you realize that it's kind of opening up all these questions about your ascension and your process, the Ascension Essentials e-course would speak to a lot of that and just provide some tools and info for the overall ascension path. Mm-hmm. So on my website, it's in the Light Tools button. These things are in the Light Tools button. And cool. Thank you, Sina, for your lovely hosting.
Of course. Thank you. I learned so much. I'm going to listen to this over for sure.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Sarahs, and everyone that joined. Your questions, I'll send out the recording. I'll also be putting this on my podcast. You can just listen to the audio of it. We'll go from there. Hopefully we'll be doing more.
Great. Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm.